there was a real strong press to remind you that the blood of Jesus Christ is the product that God uses to sprinkle on us. So, I have, those of you who are taking notes, I have several scriptures about the sprinkling of the blood. And it's in 1 Peter 1, verse 2. It speaks about the sprinkled blood. Leviticus 4, 6. Numbers 19, 4. Numbers 19, 4. Hebrews 11, 28. And Hebrews 12, 24. When he began to push my buttons, he told me to take the Amplified tonight to kind of tickle your ears and hopefully set them on fire. Peter, an apostle, verse 1 of chapter 1. Peter, an apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, writing to the elect, not just to anybody. But then the next word is kind of cool. Exiles. Of the dispersion scattered sowed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father. That's you. That's me. And consecrated, sanctified, and made holy. That takes all your opinion and shoots it full of holes. Agreed? Consecrated, sanctified, and made holy by the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ the Messiah, and to be sprinkled with His blood, may grace, spiritual blessings, and peace be given you in increasing abundance. That spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ. Freedom from fear, agitating passions, and moral conflict. That'll take you for a ride, if you want it. If you want it to sit on the page, it's up to you. Verse 3, praise, honor, and blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unsullied, unfading, reserved in heaven for you. This past week, I was having a discussion with my wife about the realm of the Spirit. And God gave me a vision. She didn't like it. She's sitting on the couch next to me. I'm on the chair. We're facing each other. I said, can you visualize a shade right here, right next to you? What kind of shade? I said, well, a shade, window shade. I said, it's got a string on the bottom over there. She says, okay. I said, now make believe and just let it go up and just let it go. She says, what's that going to do? It's going to show you heaven. That's how far it is from you. So, you are born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unsullied, and unfading, reserved in heaven for me. It's up to you if you want it. Who are being guarded, garrisoned by God's power through your faith. See, What's keeping you? Your faith. Till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last times or last days. You should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations. Do you qualify? So that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. This proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. Who is he going to be revealed in? Us. When Christ in you, the hope of glory, comes alive, you are going to be him in an earth suit, ready to do whatever he has declared for you to do. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and exult and thrill and with inexpressible and glorious triumphant heavenly joy. At the same time, you receive the result, outcome, consummation of your faith. That area right there should have a circle around it. The salvation of your souls. Why is he returning inside his people? It's to save your souls, your mind, will, and emotions. And mine can really take me for a ride.
Jesus.
Okay? But he is progressing in us to really arrest us. That there is a change happening in our soul, mind, will, and emotions. And the secret to get there is submission. Amen. If you are determined to hold on to your soulish ways, he will respect you. All the way to your own dissatisfaction and destruction. Because he was showing me the difference between Peter and Judas. And they're both the same. They both got attitude. They're both warned. One waits for the crucifixion to see the victory that was provided, and the other one goes off and kills himself because he's too proud. He has never been holy enough in his own eyes, and therefore he is so self-satisfied that he kills himself, and he brings himself into eternal damnation. Yeah. So watch out when he tells you to submit. Because his intention is to break the soul and make it submissive to your spirit. And if you've got an attitude about it, he will respect your attitude. He respected Judas. And he said, go do quickly what you want to do because you have already determined who's your Lord. And it isn't him. It isn't Jesus. And Peter, by the same token, said, oh my God, get away from me. I am a sinful. Yeah. Is that attitude or is that a choice of humiliating himself, humbling himself? See, we have a choice. And some people think, oh, my life is so destructive. Well, maybe your attitude is wrong. I went by the paper today that I threw out. Your attitude determines your altitude. And your attitude, if you're so self-righteous, will respect you all the way to hell. And you say, what are you saying? Well, good grief, if I don't tell you, who will? My job is to give you the word and then to let you make the choice. If you want your soul to continue, your mind, your will, and emotions, in the control room, he will respect you. But don't expect to get the inheritance that was designed for you and prepared for you in advance. You can reject your salvation. God can erase your name from the book of life, Revelations. It's up to you. How stubborn are you?
How stubborn am I?
So are you saying we can lose our salvation?
If you choose to be stubborn, sure.
Right.
He said even the very elect could.
That's right.
Even the very elect could. Why? Because the soul wants to rule. Did you ever hear your mouth say, I want it my way? And if you don't like it, too bad. God will respect that. If you think you're so ugly in your own eyes and you can never be saved, what are you saying? Jesus' sacrifice isn't good enough. His finished work is what we talked about on Sunday. His finished work guarantees you to believe correctly. That his salvation has already been given to you by him. But if you reject it, go ahead. He'll respect your decision. Your free will is intact. So at that time, you receive the results, outcome, consummation of your faith, the salvation of your soul, the prophets who prophesied of the grace, divine blessing, which was intended for you, searched and inquired earnestly about this salvation. What is that saying? That's saying that all the prophets of old had knowledge that there was a salvation of the soul coming, but they didn't know when. And they were nosy, and God wouldn't tell them. Peter is saying, I already know now because I experienced it. When did he experience it? Think about when the rooster was crowing. What did he see that was good in himself at that point? Zero.
That's right.
Yes or no? He was aware of his soul right there. How his soul was controlling the whole ball game. Jesus wasn't going to be the king and he wasn't going to be a part of it. Because he just ruined his plan. Jesus ruined Peter's plan.
Amen.
Did he ruin your plan?
Yep, sometimes.
See,
do you understand what he's after? He's after what? Submission. I surrender all. It's good for you, but not for me. I'm not going to surrender. I'm going to do it my way. Listen to what you do, how you do it, and then go back to God and say, I need your grace. I haven't got it put together. I don't know how to do this. And when you admit that you don't know how, what happens? He is going to pour it on you like gold. Man, he is going to flood you with the incredible grace that he only can provide because he paid for it. Verse 11. These that were rewriting the old covenant, watch, they sought to find out to whom or when this was to come, which the Spirit of Christ working within them indicated when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that should follow them. It was then disclosed to them that the services they were rendering were not meant for themselves. And their period of time, but for you and me. It is these very things which have now already been made known plainly to you by those who preach the good news, the gospel, to you by the same Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Into these things the very angels look and long to look at. So brace up your mind. Be sober, circumspect, morally alert. Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace and the divine favor that is coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed inside of you. When is he going to be in the control room of your spirit? When does he come in to control your spirit?
When you submit.
The minute you submit.
when you said, yes, I understand, you died for me. That was the moment. But now, when does he take over your soul?
When you died to self.
When you allow him. Yes, when you died to self. And you know, and you say, oh my God, I'm going through this incredible, horrible stuff. But, Lord, I'm not going alone. When my conversation with my aunt on Saturday, I said, did you realize that God has given you a privilege? She says, all my life has been a privilege. But some of it I hated. And we talked about her upcoming departure. Why? Because now she's learned that her body's full of destruction. So we talked about the transition that is about to take place. And I could feel the peace. The peace was intense. You see, this temporary earth suit that you've got and that I've got, in some areas, it could be having a problem. And you might not like some of the problems. We've got a few that are challenged right now. And we won't go into the names. But Roy is a perfect example. According to the doctors, he shouldn't be alive. Because of the aneurysm in his heart, his whole body emptied out, all he remembers is asking his mom to take him to the hospital. And then the lights went out. Well, obviously, they would go out. That main artery burst open inside his body.
Wow. That is awesome.
14 hours of surgery put him back together, and he's doing well, and he's even walking upstairs. A week and 2 days it took. Did he enjoy the trip? No. 4 days after the surgery, we took a walk in the hospital together. And as I'm walking, I'm so reminded of the grace that God has poured into this man. And when I'm reminded of the grace that was poured into him, I remember the grace that was poured into me. You see, if it wasn't for choosing to submit, I wouldn't be here either. And I know it. Many of you have gone through some stuff. Some of you are in the middle of some stuff. And you don't like it. I'm not asking you to like it. I'm asking you to submit and let his plan unfold. So that the power of your faith will bring you to the fullness of the salvation that he's prepared for you. Verse 14. Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that govern you. Notice that govern you. See, some people don't want to look at the Amplified because it's a little scary. In your former ignorance, when you did not know the requirements of the gospel, but as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, how many know it's a wonderful word to read on a print? But then all of a sudden you find your mouth or your actions doing the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. Can you relate?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, I found myself in the same space yesterday. And oh my God, what a stupid choice. You say you call yourself stupid? No, the choice was stupid. I'm not stupid.
But I was tricked and deceived, and I walked along a path that I should not have walked. The difference was that I did not confess guilt. I did confess righteousness in Christ. And I said, Lord, I know now at my old way of thinking that I would have condemned myself, pushed and shoved and repented for 3 days and cried and wept. But now I will rejoice because there is no condemnation, because I know this body did something that was not right. But this mind, this emotion, all this stuff is not from you, but the blood is being sprinkled on me now. And I received that sprinkled blood to purify the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body. So now, I had a conversation with my son. And in my old way of thinking, when my body misbehaved, or my mind misbehaved, or my emotions misbehaved, I would not receive anything from God because I didn't think I deserved it.
Amen.
Are you there? Okay. So, in my conversation with my son in the morning, he said, Dad, he said, we're going to need some paint for the apartment. So, this is the price that I can get it here in a second-hand type where they take all the paints and they recycle it. And sell. So, he gives me all the prices and I write it down. I said, but Gary, I've got a nudge that I think I'm supposed to go to Sherwin-Williams. So, I said, at some point today, I'll go to Sherwin-Williams. So I go into Sherwin-Williams and I in the car, and the accuser's saying, don't expect any favors from God now, because look at the stupidity of what you just did.
Amen.
So, did I listen to him?
No.
I said, my God does not love my actions or my reactions. He loves my obedience. And I will definitely keep on going and expect a great miracle for what we need to do this apartment. So I talked to the young lady. She looked at my record. And it was $27.95 per gallon for the paint that I would need. And if I bought a 5 gallon pail, it was going to be $1 less. Well, that's not much of a bargain. And I said, well, I said, I do have a little bit of a nudge. I said, have you got any coloration that you might have available? Because it's an apartment, it doesn't really matter what shades they are. I said, well, she says, we got cleaned out. I don't think there's anything back there except some off-white. And that's the color Gary wanted. So I said, well, let's take a peek. So she had some boxes, and she got a phone call in the meantime, and I said, well, I'll look and see what's available. So I opened each can just to check, and there's actually 8 cans. 2 of them had some missing from them, maybe a third of it off one and maybe a little bit more off the other. So I go back into the other room, and now the phone, she's done with it. So I said, how much are those if I decide to take those? She said, $1 a gallon.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
So I walked out with 8 gallons of paint for $8. Go ahead, eat your heart out. Be jealous. Go ahead and reason it out. Tell me if I didn't deserve it. Did I deserve it?
Yes.
Why? Because of what Jesus did. Not because of my stupidity of bad choices, but because of what he did for me.
That's right.
He loves me that much.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
Paying a whole apartment for $8.
Yeah. Amen. Come on now.
And the kind, the best paint. You know, no junk.
Yeah. That's right.
Exactly.
Yes,
I got an egg story.
You got an egg story.
My husband bought some eggs.
Yeah?
He got a good price on them. Well, we were running short, so he bought another couple more dozen yesterday. So this morning, I'm opening it. Guess what was in the egg box? $5. Then I opened my wallet. I was very short on money. There's $20. I'm saying, Lord, thank you. Do I deserve it?
Yeah.
Yes, of course, because of what Jesus did for you.
Yes, exactly. That's the difference.
But can you imagine taking eggs from a store and opening up and finding money inside?
That's God.
I call him at work and ask him if he put them in there to surprise me.
Well, I bought a couple of dozen of eggs. They're in the car, hopefully not frozen. And if money comes in, I'll give you a report.
That's amazing.
Yes, dear.
In line with your story, Jeanette, in line with yours, Kim, Bob's first day on the new job was yesterday. Make a long story short, after he gets all done with the initiation, Kim, the guy says, I think I'm going to have all of you guys come in for the Employee of the Month thing. So they all went into a room, a lot of people. Everybody that walked through the door got given a raffle ticket. So they all sit down and they draw some prizes and everything. Well, they call a number and Bob says, I could have sworn those were the numbers on that ticket. So he pulls it out of his pants and he's looking at it, but he's scared because the room is full and he's kind of shy, like, you know.
Yeah.
He goes, I just said, I'll just bite the bullet. So he says, that's me. He went up and won $50.
Oh. Wow. First day, got a bonus.
So it's in line with the same thing you're saying. Yeah. You know?
Unmerited favor.
Yes. That's right. Yeah,
you won't deserve it. You can't work your way for it. You can't scream for it. But you can receive it by faith. How are you going to become holy? By faith. You've already been made holy, but you better accept it, because if you don't, you're left on the outside. Verse 17. And if you call upon him as your father, who judges each one impartially, according to what he does, then you should conduct yourself with true reverence throughout the time of your temporary residence on the earth, whether long or short. You must now recognize that you were redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless ways of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. It is true that he was chosen and foreordained, chosen and foreordained like you, destined and foreknown for it. Therefore, before the foundations of the world, but he was brought out to public view, made manifest in these last days, at the end of the times, for the sake of you. One minute, dear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Through him you believe, adhere to, rely on God, who raised him from the dead and gave him honor and glory, so that your faith and hope are centered and rest in God, not on yourself and your own works. Since by your obedience to the truth, through the Holy Spirit, you have purified your hearts. Notice, how did you get it? Through the Holy Spirit. For the sincere affection of the brethren, see that you love one another fervently with a pure heart. You have been regenerated, born again, not from the mortal origin or seed or sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting word of God. Because all flesh, mankind, is like grass, and all its glory, honor, and like the flowers of grass, and the grass withers, and the flowers drop off. But the word of the Lord, the divine instructions of the gospel, endure forever. And this word is the good news which was preached to you and to me.
As I was studying this today and going over it, if you think you can make it on your own, you would be just like the Pharisees. And you can know the word, and you can produce the word, but unless you humble yourself and let the word do that work inside of you and me, you're still on the old pattern. So we need to be aware. When we humble ourselves and we ask God for grace, He will pour it in. And the minute you say, I can't do it, you're admitting that you can't. And when He hears those words, what does He do? Immediately He releases what you need. You might go to sleep angry and bitter, but let Him perform the miracle He needs to perform inside of each and every one of us. And I'm not explaining that, oh, you. It's all of us. I don't exclude myself. I'm on a journey just like you. I may not be on the same page, but I'm in the same book. Look at your neighbor. Say, there's a work going on in you. And there's a work going on in me. And I need favor. And I'm expecting favor by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.